holistic nutritionist, integrative nutrition health coach, prenatal, postpartum nutritional professional with a focus on whole person health. Today, I'm very excited because I am joined by Kylie Romashko. Kylie is a freelancing mom of a toddler with one on the way and has experienced the physical and mental impacts of hyperemesis gravidarum, HG, an advocate for a lesser known ailment of pregnant women. She researched tirelessly before her second pregnancy in hopes of avoiding the grueling symptoms. Kylie prides herself on being completely transparent in motherhood journey, career journey, and journey to healing from something as serious as HG. Welcome, Kylie. I am so grateful that we are finally sitting down and talking one-on-one because it's been a long time coming for us.
Oh, it has. It has. Motherhood has some crazy twists and turns, and I'm so glad that we could both be flexible and that we're here today to have such a good time.
I agree. And it's so nice. Like, one thing I love about this podcast that I do is I'm talking to mothers. So when things come up, they understand, they get it, they don't get angry, and they're willing to roll with whatever comes up.
It's so true. And it's funny to look back at least for me before I had kids. And I was like, man, I was so like, people need to like manage their time better. And now I'm like, oh, that's so funny. Cause it's just different when you have kids. So
right. I can relate to that because I'm one of those people who is like, if I'm 5 minutes early, I'm 5 minutes late. Like, I need to be there 15 minutes early. I'd rather just like sit in the parking lot and wait until it's the time of. And now I'm like, I don't know. It could take us 5 minutes to get out the door, or it could take me an hour to get out the door because I have a toddler that I'm dragging with me, and I don't want to force him into something, but I want him to like be independent, walk to the car, but who knows how long that's going to take.
Right. When they want to start putting their shoes on themselves, you're like, well, I want to give you that space to do that. But I guess it's like, I don't know how much time to plan for that. So yeah, a lot of things change, but in a fun way.
Yes. A lot of things do change, and it has been fun. I don't know about you. Like, the toddler stage so far is, I think, my favorite. They are so funny, and watching their little brains work so quickly and pick up on new stuff in just a lot more nuanced ways than I thought they could or would. Yes. And like being with them 24/7 and like watching it actually happen is so different than when you're with like your nieces and nephews, because you don't get as much time with them.
So true. They're brilliant. And I agree with you, hilarious. I think toddler stage is my favorite too, because they're just so funny. Like, our daughter Sloan the other night was like just wild at bedtime, and I was sitting by her crib, and I was trying to get her to go to sleep, and she just looks at me and she goes, "Good morning." And I was just like, I can't not laugh. You're so funny. Like, it's just so like, they just make life a lot less serious. And I think if you're open to it, it's a good thing to just open yourself up to and say like, okay, let me let this toddler guide me in that way to just not take myself so seriously and slow down and just laugh a little bit more. And they're just, I love this stage too. It's so fun.
It's so true. I feel like we do live in such a productive society that is so serious, and you can't be both productive and serious when you're with a toddler all the time.
Oh, no.
You're going to be miserable.
There's a time to be serious, but when you're with your toddler, it's like you just kind of, like we were saying, lowering expectations or just not really having expectations and just kind of rolling with it, because you sort of never know what's going to happen or what the toddler's going to do. So
true. I definitely can look back on my last 19, almost 20 months, and how my expectations have changed and also completely disappeared. Yeah. I would love to hear about your story with just that, like the expectations of motherhood, where it actually took you, and a little bit of your background with becoming a mom to Sloan and now baby number two.
Yes. Well, it's so funny. We're kind of both in the same stages of like our first are the same age about, and then now our second will be two, which is fun. It's always fun to have someone that's pregnant at the same time as you, because then you're kind of sharing the same parts of your journey. So yeah, my daughter is, like I said, just hilarious. She's almost two. And I think the whole expectation thing was really difficult for me, like truly rocked my world. I was very productive before I got pregnant, I was very like type A, achiever personality. You got to get stuff done, otherwise you're lazy. And I just had this very rigid sense of self, honestly. And, you know, not to say that's a good or a bad thing, but that's just kind of what my reality was. And it worked for me in my life. But when I did get pregnant, I had hyperemesis gravidarum very severely. And I was very – well, actually, it was severe to most people. But in the realm of hyperemesis, it was actually very mild. But that rocked my world. And I was like, okay, I can't work. I got to just listen to my body a little bit better. And I really took – everything took a backseat to that, honestly, because I was really just on the couch for like months. And then when I had my daughter, I kind of thought that she'd be this little accessory to my life that – oh, she'll just go wherever I go and I'll go to the gym every single day and it will be totally easy and she's not going to, you know, need that much. She's just a baby. It's going to be simple. And I think I realized, like we were saying, like kids kind of demand you to slow down and it's not a bad thing. But I think if you're not expecting it, it can feel really challenging because you want them to work with your schedule. And that's just not reality. Like there's ways to create a flow with your kids, you know, in a more ideal sense. But for me, I struggled so hard with that. But I think once you sort of surrender and you just allow yourself to have fun with your kids, it's a lot easier. So I feel like honestly, I didn't really adjust until my daughter was like 6 or 8 months old. I was I had a really hard time after I had her. I don't know about you, like adjusting wise, but the adjustment was pretty difficult.
I agree. For my experience, I think going into like birth and postpartum, like I've had a lot of concentration on the postpartum period for like my mental and emotional health and physical, just from everything I heard. But I did not take in consideration like how my day-to-day would actually need to be adjusted and yes. How my expectations of what flow would look like in this season needed to be like obliterated and starting completely new.
Yeah. It's a whole new life. It's like you're literally starting over of like what is my priority list? And obviously your kid is number one, you know? So it's like it's not you and your partner anymore. It's like, what does my kid need? How can I help them? And I think it's just, it's hard to let go of that when you're used to being independent and doing what you want, when you want every single day. And then saying, okay, totally flip-flop it. It's all about this kid. What do they need? And then how can I fill my cup in between so that I can continue to be a good parent and show up and have that good energy with your kids? Cause it's, I think that takes a lot of practice too and figuring out what works for you that like what does fill your cup. And when can you do that thing that fills your cup? Because it's got to happen. Like you have to do something, but it's a bit of a challenge to figure that out.
It really is. What kind of things over the last almost 2 years now did you find did fill your cup? And like how did that change within the seasons of your daughter growing?
That's such a good question. And just there are so many seasons because kind of like we were talking before, it's like when your child is nursing, it's like I was pretty attached to my daughter because she refused to take a bottle for like a really long time. So I didn't really leave, or if I did, it was only for a couple of hours. But I think you can relate to this, I know, because fitness is something that I know is really important to you too. And that I found was hugely helpful for me. I think fitness has always been a really big confidence builder and just kind of a nice escape because you get to go somewhere where someone is just telling you what to do. Like at least if you're taking a class or something, someone's just telling you what you should be doing. You don't need to think. You don't need to make any decisions. You just show up and you do what they say and you listen to good music. And then you have all these endorphins after and you're just feeling good. And so that for me has been kind of my number one. But I also think working and doing something creative. I think that a lot of people feel better when they do something creative, whether it's going to give them a monetary gain or not. I think it's really – it just builds your confidence, and I think it just gives you that escape. So those are definitely my two things of kind of what I needed to do to fill my cup. But that, you know, it took time. Like I said, you know, when you're nursing, it looks different than when you're not nursing. And then, you know, their naps change, and you're kind of like, okay, well, how do I work that out? And our daughter's in daycare 3 days a week. And so on those days, I have a little more time. But then the 2 other days, it's kind of like, can you squeeze in something for yourself during nap? And, you know, maybe she doesn't nap that day. So you kind of have to lower your expectations and then do something else. So I think it's kind of an ever-changing thing. And I think you definitely got to give yourself grace as you adjust, because it just changes a lot.
That is so true, especially then like the sleep part of it for my experience. Like going into becoming a mom, I listened to, I forget what audiobook, but basically it was a sleep training book, and it was like, it's going to be great. This is exactly what you're going to do. Your kid is going to sleep through the night, no problem, starting at 8 weeks. Like,
what?
It set it up so nice. I was like, oh, awesome. Like, I'm going to sleep. And then, like, he came, and I was like, there's no way I will ever let you sit here and cry.
No,
like, that does not align with my intuition. No. Immediately, that did not align with my intuition. So sleep was a whole new ball game for me. Like, and nap times in my arms for the first 10 months of his life. Like, so everything was such a big adjustment for us. But it took time. And now he sleeps great at night on his own through the night. Like, he's sleeping so well. But it wasn't overnight. It didn't happen in the ways I expected it to. And I think that sharing that with people, for me at least, hearing other people's story on sleep has been so important to be like, oh, I'm not a bad mom because my baby's not sleeping. My baby's not bad because they're not sleeping. Like, those little reminders that are feel so obvious when I like can say them now, but in the thick of like the sleep deprivation, it's not obvious.
It's so true. And people always ask you that, like, how's your baby sleeping? And I've had to catch myself, because I will ask people that, like, oh, like, how are you guys sleeping? And I'm like trying to always think of a better way to ask, of like, how are you doing? Like, are you rested? Are you finding time for naps? Because it's like, you feel this expectation. And I can totally agree with you how funny it is that, like, when you hear eight, like, your baby will sleep through the night in 8 weeks, even before you have kids, you're like, it's going to take 8 weeks. And it's like, I don't think Sloan slept through the night for like 11 months. Like, it took a really long time.
Right.
And that's not to scare anyone. Like, you will manage and it will be totally fine. Like, I lived a totally normal life when I was waking up and nursing her in the middle of the night. But right, you have to do what aligns with you. And I felt the same way, that I'm like, I can't just leave her here and let her cry. I was like, it's going to take us longer to get her to sleep, but we'll just figure it out. But yeah, you have a different expectation how you're going to feel about your child crying. Like, cause I have lots of nieces and nephews, and many of them were sleep trained. So if I did watch them, I was told, put them in their crib. They're going to cry for like 10 minutes and then walk away. And I'm like, oh, 10 minutes, that's not that long. But I'm like, I can't imagine letting my kid cry for that long. Like, I like sweat, I freak out. And I'm like, I could never do that. And it's right. To each their own, but it is refreshing to hear when someone else takes the route of not sleep training, because there's different ways to do all of this, but it is nice to hear someone else, because sometimes you can feel like you're doing it wrong. And it's like, oh, I just don't know if I'm comfortable with that. But it's like, they all end up sleeping eventually. It just takes a little time. And then once they do, you're like living the life, living the good life. It's all you need. You just need sleep, really.
That's so true. I think you're right. It's just word vomit at some point to be like, how are you sleeping? And
yes.
Now when I realize I say those words, what I'm really asking is like, are you rested enough? And how are you doing it? Because I would love to just like get comparisons and like get ideas sometimes from other parents of like, what does sleep look like in your household?
Right.
Because I think I've been shocked even to find out like how many people are actually co-sleeping.
Yeah.
For the first 2 years of life. And like before I had children, the messages I was, you know, conditioned with was that it's unsafe to co-sleep.
Oh, yeah. And you only hear scary stories.
Exactly. And then the more I talk to other moms, I'm like, oh, that's actually like a biological norm across the globe. Yeah. And there are safe ways to do this. Yes, there are unsafe ways to do it, but there are so many more safe ways. And if we start to talk about it more with each other, we can find rest even in the seasons of teething and sleep regressions that are going to hit everybody, every household, no matter what.
Yes, sleep trained or not, your kid is going to have that dreaded 4-month sleep regression. And I think the even learning about birth, but learning about sleep ahead of time in every different way is a good idea, because then you do know how to do it safely when it does happen. Because a lot of the stories you hear about co-sleeping that are, you know, if something bad happened, is because the parent was like, I would never do that. And then they fell asleep in a chair with the baby. So I think it's just better to learn about it ahead of time and say, you know, because I did it, because I also was like, I would never let my kids sleep with me. Like, they're just, you know, like, you just, you really don't think you ever would. And it's funny because my best friend said the same thing, and she just sent me a snap. She always sends me Snapchats in the morning of her and her daughter snuggling in her bed. And she's like, oh, I just love these snuggles. And I'm like, you go, mama. Like, that's like, she's safe and she's, you know, following the safe seven. So it's like, she's doing everything to keep her daughter safe. And it is so normal to, like, I think in motherhood overall is just trusting your gut. And like, if you feel this calling to like keep your baby close to you, that is probably for a reason. And I think the first time I felt like that was when my daughter had a really high fever. And I just was like, I can't leave her alone right now. And Literally she woke up the next morning and her fever was gone. And one of my friends told me that it's because your body helps them regulate that. And I was like, what an amazing thing. So there's so many benefits. And, you know, not everyone's going to want to co-sleep or do things like that. But just to know that there's options out there and it's okay, and that you're so right, so many more people do it than ever talk about it. So it's like, oh my gosh, we're all doing it, but no one is admitting it.
Right. I love that you hit on the intuition thing. Like, as moms, I know I felt this way too. Like, we can follow that intuition once we get in tune to it. And it ends up being for such a good reason. Like, there's so much science backed behind following your intuition. And the fact, like, with the fever and like your body's co-regulate with temperature, skin to skin, like, that's so amazing. You didn't logically know that at the time. But right. Your gut was telling you.
It's so crazy. It really is. And it's like, and I think that's another thing that takes practice, is just trusting your gut and intuition. And I think for me, that did not come naturally at first. I think that was why having a child was really a big adjustment for me, because everyone says, like, you're going to be a natural, you're just going to know what to do. And I didn't feel like that all the time. But then in that moment, I felt like I knew what to do. And I was like, she just needs to be close to me. I just know it. And then I, you know, slowly you kind of start to trust yourself and say, I'm going to block out everything else and have tunnel vision and just say, you know, what do I think this baby needs? Like, you know, within reason and to keep them safe. But it's like, you kind of realize you do know what you're doing. It just takes a little bit.
It does. It's like a muscle that you're building. Like, we're not, especially in our society, and like, we're just not conditioned. We're conditioned out of trusting our intuition.
Yeah.
And as you become a mom, I swear, like, you give birth. I don't know if this happens for everybody, but I swear, like, when I gave birth, like, I became so much more in tune with my intuition, like, immediately. I don't know if it was doing it naturally and like having those endorphins flood my body and stuff. And then each time I would like take a step towards my intuition, I felt that muscle getting stronger. And now, like, my intuition does speak louder than my anxiety voice does. And I'm able to be like, recognize the difference more often of like, okay, like, this is my intuition and this is actually anxiety. Like, thank you for being there. I appreciate your worries, but not right now type of thing.
That's such a good point, that those are different things, that like, anxiety and intuition are different. And like, you want to follow the intuition path, but it does take practice and takes time to identify what voice is speaking to you right now and what do you listen to. And it's really interesting to see, like, I'm sure you feel this way too, that as a mother, you're like, I just know what my kid needs, what, like, before they even need it, before anyone else notices. Like, when we had the stomach flu going through our house, we were sitting on the couch with Sloan, and she literally didn't do anything. And I didn't even think about it, but I just picked her up and I walked over to the wood floor and she threw up. And my husband was like, how did you know she was going to throw up? And I'm like, I don't know. But like, any mom I know would agree with that like, they just know when things are going wrong. And my mom always said that about all of us too, that if something was wrong, she just knew, and you can't put your finger on it. And it's just this like invisible string that you have to your children, that once you start trusting that intuition more, it all just becomes a lot easier.
Oh, that's so true. I like the thought of it too, being like an invisible force between you two, that is something that just keeps getting stronger the more you get to know each other and bond and really relate to one another. Because it, for me, I did feel like after birth, like I was instantly like, I need this baby with me 24/7. But I also like, I was like, who are you? Like, I don't know who you are. Like, you've been inside of me for so long, but like, I don't know you yet. And I can't wait to get to know you, but I don't know you yet. And it's so cool to watch them grow. And especially as they're becoming toddlers, like getting to see that personality come out. Like, that's the stuff that I feel like is the gold. That is what gets you through those sleepless nights and the sleep deprivation or the tantrums and the hard times of just everything around us, not just motherhood, but all the other expectations put on us outside of motherhood. They are what gets you through it. Like, watching them learn and grow and become who they need to be in this world.
So true. I think even at the very beginning, when they first start smiling at you, it's like, all right, this is what I'm doing this for. And it just, it changes absolutely everything. Cause I think a lot of people will tell you a milestone of, you know, it's going to get easier after a month, or it's going to get easier at month three or month six. And I don't know if that's really how I felt. Like, it wasn't a timeline like that, but it was just when you start getting that feedback that they see you and you're like, oh my gosh, hi. And like you're saying, you get to know them because they are a total stranger, even though, right, they've been physically attached to you for 9 months. It's like, I don't really know you. Like, who are you? What are you all about? What are you going to be like? And so getting to know them is, I mean, it's such a treasure. It's seriously, I was just saying to my husband last night, I'm like, I think this is like, I feel so lucky that I've had the human experiences that you would want, you know, like I really can't ask for anything more. I mean, giving birth was the coolest thing ever. And then having a kid that you get to raise, I mean, so cool. It's the best thing in the world.
It really is. I agree with that. If you could go back and give Kylie preconception some advice before like first baby, what would it be?
Oh, that's such a great question. I would probably just tell myself, this is so, it's kind of generic to say, but it's kind of a coverall for a lot of things. But I would just say, give yourself grace. Be prepared to give yourself grace. Be prepared to go through a sometimes very painful metamorphosis, because, and more than once, it's not just going to be, all right, I had a kid, I adjusted, I'm a mom now, and I get it, because the kid is always changing. And really letting go of that schedule, letting go of expectations and comparison. And I think for me, for whatever reason, I was really good at not comparing Sloan or myself to other people. I think I just was like acutely aware that every kid really is different. But I do know for some moms that's difficult, especially with social media, and you see kids the same age and you're like, well, their kid's sitting up and their kid's doing this, and it doesn't matter. Like, kind of like what we said about sleep. They're all going to sleep eventually. All these kids are going to sit up eventually. All these kids are going to drink from a straw. That was one thing I actually was weirdly worried about, was that Sloan was not drinking from straw when she was older. And I was like, why do I care about this? Like, I would just tell myself to let go and just try to enjoy it a little bit more. And I think if you can, before you have a kid, because people say this a lot, which I don't totally agree with, but they say having a kid or raising a child is not hard, but raising a child on top of doing other things is what makes it hard. And not to say that, oh, if you had a nanny and you had a maid and a chef and all this, that raising a child would be completely easy, because it would still be challenging. There's still obstacles and things that you have to get through with them. But I think it does become a lot easier and more enjoyable if you can take certain things off your plate, if you can delegate things, if you can learn to ask for help from family or friends or your partner, and just trying to take things off your plate, I think makes it a lot easier. So that it's a lot of advice I would tell myself, but overall, it would just be like, just don't take yourself so seriously and try to just give yourself grace, because it's going to be a little harder than you think it's going to be, a lot harder than you think it's going to be, but it's going to be more incredible and more life-changing than you think too.
Yes, I love all of that and can relate to every piece of advice you gave yourself, because I feel like going into second pregnancy and like preparing for baby number two, that's what I'm thinking of, like what would I would have told myself before the first baby, and really apply that now to the second. And I think all of those things for me, apply to like what I'm going to try to carry into this next season of becoming a family of four. And you really touched on something that I've been thinking a lot about lately, and is actually a podcast that I'm now editing to get uploaded, is asking for help. And like, how do we actually ask for help? Like, was this something that came to you naturally? Was it something that you were practicing? Can you ask for help now? Like, where are you at with all of that?
Oh, such a good question. And I would love to know how you feel about this too, because I think before I had my daughter, I was very bad at asking for help. But I think while I was very ill during pregnancy, I learned to ask for help then, because it was detrimental to my survival. I was like, I have to speak up. I have to advocate for myself. It's necessary and it has to happen. And so I think I also realized too, people like helping, especially women. Women like to help. So if you give someone an opportunity to help you, like, they can always say no, right? If they're too busy, they can say no. And people enjoy that. If you say, oh my gosh, can you just come over and watch my kiddo for a little bit? Or could you help me with some cleaning or some meal prep or whatever? Like, people love to help each other. And so I think after a while that started to become really natural, especially asking family members, specifically grandmas, to help me with Sloan. They're so excited to watch her. That's a time for them to build a relationship with her. And they're happy to do it. To me, it's like, oh, heck yeah, I'm getting some help here and I get a little break. But to them, it's this quality time where they get to bond and build a relationship and create memories together. So there are situations where you getting help is mutually beneficial. But I think sometimes we tell ourselves that we're burdening people when we're totally not.
Yes, I can relate to that. So I know for me personally, like, asking for help has been something I struggle with. And then once I had my son, I didn't work anymore. And so I was at home, and then I was in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm at home now. I can do more stuff at the house, right? But again, dropping those expectations of what I actually could get done in a day and realizing in this season, I actually do need to ask for help more. Yeah. And I slowly was able to start asking, like, especially my mom for help. Once she retired, I could see, like, okay, I feel like she has more space, so I won't feel as burdensome. But when that little voice that's like, no, it's a burden, don't ask, I do remind myself that people actually enjoy helping, and it's a bonding experience for you and that person, because you are trusting them enough to invite them into this spot that's actually really vulnerable, like letting them know, like, I don't have it all right now.
Yeah.
And if you could help me, that would be amazing. And also, if you can't help me right now, like, I'm going to celebrate your no just as much, but please tell me when you can. Like, yes. Tell me what you can do. And the thing I'm still struggling with help right now is I know how to ask for help when I have a solution. Mm. Like, if I know how you can help me, I'm a lot more willing to ask for it. But if I'm in a situation where, like, I need help and I have no idea what's going to fix it, I feel like I don't know how to bring that to people yet. I'm still working on that one.
That's so, like, the most relatable thing I've ever heard, because it's so true when you're just really overwhelmed and you're like, I don't know what's going to fix this. Like, I'm just so overwhelmed and there's so much to do and I don't know where to start. And, like, where can I even delegate anything? I don't know. And it's, but right, like you said, when you can identify, okay, this is the exact thing I need help with, then you can ask the person that fits that role. But it's like, sometimes there's moments where you just don't know and it takes time to figure out.
Right. And I think it's even scarier to admit, like, no, I have no idea. Like, I'm so lost right now that I don't know. In my mind, I'm like, even if I try to start delegating, like, I could just do it quicker than it would take me to explain what I need you to do for me.
Honestly, that's tough too.
That becomes a hurdle for me as well.
Yes. And there's certain things that my husband will remind me of this, like, with, like, career-wise, especially, that he's like, don't convince yourself that what you do is so complicated that you couldn't show someone and they could do it just as well. But it's like, but there's certain things that you're like, this actually would take me like a million years to explain it to, so I'm just going to do it myself. But then there's other things that you're like, okay, let me just try this once. And sometimes I feel like that's a key too, is just seeing how something goes. If I ask this person to do this thing, let's just see how we feel about it. Like when we hired a nanny when Sloan was 4 months old, and I was a little nervous about it. She was a friend of a friend, so I didn't know her well, but I was like, okay, you know, like I probably overloaded her with like, she likes this and she likes to play with this toy and whatever. And then I was like, oh, she's actually doing so great. Like I was so worried about this and was like, no one could hang out with Sloan like I do. But it's like, sometimes there's certain things that it's like, okay, they can do it. But then there's other things that you find that you just want to do yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I feel like I could ask you a million more things, but I don't want to take too much of your time. So is there anything else that you'd want to just tell other moms and let them know like they're not alone in, or anything we didn't cover so far that you would want to leave everybody with?
I would really love to encourage new moms to lean into your mental health care, because I think that's something we don't always talk about a lot. And I think before I had Sloan, I was very sure that I would not struggle, because why would I struggle? It's the happiest time of your life. But it can be a really big adjustment and it can be difficult. And asking for help is not something to be ashamed of. I honestly think it's, for me, something I'm really proud of, that I finally recognized that, hey, if I had a little help, like we were just saying, if I had some help, I could be a better mom and I could be a better Kylie and I could be a better wife and better at my career and better at, you know, just better self overall. So I would really encourage new moms just to lean into that and to be open to that idea of possibly asking for help and just talking to a therapist. I think therapy is great for everyone, but especially if you have anything traumatic that happened to you during pregnancy or birth or postpartum, I think it's really important that you just take a look at it, and most insurance plans will cover it. So that's a good thing too. So money doesn't always need to be a huge hurdle there, hopefully. So that's a thing I would leave people with, is just really take good care of yourself, because you're doing a really big job.
Yes, that's so true. Every transition in life is something that we have not experienced yet, and getting a professional sounding board to even just offload stuff that you're not maybe prepared to offload to even the most people, like close people in your life, like having somebody who's an outside person can be so helpful. I know I've personally really leaned into that in my life the last few years, and I don't think I would be where I am mentally and emotionally without that either.
Totally. You learn so many skills that are just so helpful, like you said, in every transition of your life. And it's a professional. And, you know, then you, like you said, don't have to offload everything onto one person who maybe doesn't have the skills to help. Because I think we've all felt like that as a friend before, where maybe someone is talking to us about something that's way out of our scope. And we're like, I want to support you, but gosh, I don't even know how. So having a therapist who's trained and educated on that stuff is really, really beneficial.
I totally agree. Thank you so much, Kylie. I'm so grateful that we got to do this, and I can't wait to see baby number two and see Sloan become a big sister. That's going to be so special.
I know, for both of us. I'm very excited that we both get to do this again together.
Yes. Thank you, Kylie.
Thank you.
If you or another mama you know would like to be on the Begin Again Mama podcast to talk about their journey, experience, life lessons, anything, just being transparent and sharing their story so moms don't feel alone, please reach out to me. My email is in the show notes. I can also be found on Instagram at tia.walden. That is TIA.WALDEN. And until next week, mama, remember every moment is an opportunity to begin again. Thank you for joining Begin Again, Mama. I am grateful you chose to spend time with me. I know how busy you are and how precious your time really is. If you like this podcast, I invite you to subscribe or follow on your desired platform. And when you do, please rate and review Begin Again, Mama. This helps me expand our reach. Until next time, remember, each moment is an opportunity to start anew and begin again, Mama.